Good morning, everybody. It's the 27th of August, 2020. My name is Larry Jacobs. You probably knew that. And this is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. You probably knew that, too. But we welcome you whether you knew it or not. Maybe you're a first-time listener, and we always welcome those, okay? Thanks so much for listening. Whether you're listening live or on the archives, we don't care. We know a lot of people listen on the archives, and that's the nature of podcasting. It's great. You can listen wherever you want. We archive every show at our website, which is education-talkradio.org, education-talkradio.org. We have a nice little news section over there of interesting stuff going on in the industry, education. And also we have a icon for past shows. You can go in a little time machine back to 2011 if you want. It amazes me how many people listen to the older shows all the time. It just never ceases to amaze me, as a matter of fact. So education-talkradio.org. We tweet over to EduTalk Radio, and we link in at Larry Jacobs. You can follow us, link us, Facebook us over at either Education Talk Radio or Larry Jacobs on Facebook. Okay, please go over, check out what we're doing in terms of equity. We're very proud of our Consortium for Equity, the American Consortium for Equity in Education. We invite you to go to that website, which is ACE-ED.org, ACE-ED.org. Again, an acronym for American Consortium for Equity in Education. It's a hot thing these days. It's free to educators to join. We want your voice to be heard out there. We have a wonderful magazine over there called Equity in Access. That's an online journal. And we're just pleased with the way things are going. We're getting more and more involved now, especially as the school year really starts in earnest for everybody. People are going back for professional development, etc. Please join with us over at ACE-ED.org. My good friend Todd Mann is here today. He's brought with him Susan King, who's the immediate past president of the organization that Todd is the executive director of, and that's Magnet Schools of America. Todd, are you there?
I am here, Larry. Nice to be back.
Always a pleasure to have you, my friend. Let me introduce myself to Miss Susan. Hello, Susan King. It's Larry here.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine. You live in Florida. I know that, and you're probably there right now, and I'm glad the hurricane missed you, and I feel bad for the people in Louisiana today. Brother, what a storm this is, right? Yeah, it's Hurricane Laura, everybody. Yeah, which
again, terrible.
It is terrible. Okay, but you got to be happy it missed Tampa because it did go up the Gulf. So, wow, lucky day, huh? If you live in Tampa, not if you live in Lake Charles, Louisiana. I wish you the best over there. For goodness sakes, I'll get back to Todd in a second. Susan, you were a long time educator in reading, and I think you were a counselor too. Past president of MSA. Where did you teach? All that sort of stuff.
I taught in Shreveport, in Texas.
Oh, they're getting nailed today. Shreveport's getting nailed today. Aren't you glad you're not there?
Exactly.
In fact, I actually believe as we speak, the hurricane's right over Shreveport. Okay.
I think it is. Yeah.
Holy moly. Yeah.
But then I did most of my magnet work in Tampa, here in Tampa.
Ah, cool. Cool. Okay. So, very good.
Yeah.
And you were the past president. So obviously last year.
Yes. We try to make these titles as long as we can. You know, just for fun. So I'm immediate past president. So yeah. I don't know. I guess they had to do that. But why couldn't we just be, I'm past president, you know?
Well, actually, luckily I have the executive director of the association on with us who might be able to answer that, which is actually a great question because you have, like, the future president, next president, immediate past president emeritus, et cetera. Todd, how many titles will Susan carry, and how many more years must she serve before she sets
She can always have – she can – she can always be president passe, you know.
he couldn't resist.
Yeah, I've been waiting for that opportunity, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it is funny with how many – what happens to a president, it's every organization, wouldn't it be? Oh, my gosh, it's unbelievable. But unfortunately, as president, last year you had to give up your private jet, am I correct? Because it goes to the –
yeah, the private jet, the house in Maui – you know, the Lamborghini.
There you go.
Todd, you didn't know about that, did you?
Good for you. That's a, your tax dollars. Not your tax dollars. Membership fees at work.
I missed that. I missed that expense report. Yeah.
Right. Poor Todd. Yeah. Every 2 years he gets a new president. So,
yep.
You know, and he has to, and they're nearly always female. Poor Todd.
Lucky Todd. Right, Todd?
Lucky Todd.
I'm just, I'll nod to anything. So that's fine on that topic.
Right. It's amazing. And Todd's executive director of the Magnet Schools of America. And, well, Todd, quickly just tell us about the organization you've been on many times, but somebody might be listening about it for the first time. MSA at magnet.edu, by the way. Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Thanks, Larry. So Magnet Schools of America represents all the magnet schools in the country, 4,340 of them. And what we do is all our mission is focused on one of our core pillars is furthering diversity in the school and in the classroom. And we do that through providing innovative educational curriculum and specially training teachers, all aimed at creating opportunity for that school to become a magnet. So magnet schools are attended by students, yes, exactly, throughout the school district. That's one of the features. They're all public. They can attend a school. And the vast majority of the schools admit students through a lottery system.
Right, and it's different from – I would like to ask you this.
Yeah.
Just give the difference between that and a charter school, because a lot of people – believed, you know, a magnet school like the School of the Arts, okay, the School of the Sciences in any given city. Those are public magnet schools, all right? But then you probably have charter schools that are doing the same thing, and there is a difference between the two. You want to just run over that so everybody understands?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, thanks.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. So one of the things I hadn't mentioned, as you did, is that they're all a lot of magnet schools are themed. Be it STEM, International Baccalaureate, IB, they could be performing arts. But the key difference between a magnet school and a charter school, a magnet school is always public, and it's always under the aegis of the current school district, so superintendent and the school board. Okay, charter schools are separately authorized. While some of them are public, some of them could be privately financed, and some of them can be privately managed. So they always fall under the aegis of that school board.
Right, and that's a key thing. They are under the aegis of the school board, all right? They are literally, although some charter schools are public schools, okay, a number of them are. The difference is the management of the school comes directly, okay, from the same folks to the public schools. They are public schools, however that makes sense. They're not under an umbrella. They literally are public schools. And you're right, they are themed in many, many cases. Okay, you know, I have to ask that secret question. Are there a lot that are unthemed, like a magnet school, just a magnet school, but no theme? Todd?
Yes,
I'm just
I believe
trying to think of
there
that.
Are. Yeah, Susan.
There is.
I'm sure that there are plenty out there that are not themed.
Yes, sometimes it might be difficult to tell what the theme is, but basically, to be a successful magnet school, you have to demonstrate theme-based instruction, which would mean you need a theme. But sometimes when we put in single gender schools here in Tampa, I kept asking the teachers, what's the theme? And they said, single gender. And I said, no, that's a teaching pedagogy. What's the theme? So we practiced all the time. The theme is college and career prep.
There you go.
Using single gender strategies. But, yeah, so sometimes they don't even know.
I love single gender strategy. You know, that's actually interesting. I grew up in Philly, and when I grew up, there were two schools in Philly. They were high schools. One was good. It's actually a funny story. One was Girls High. They still is. And the other one was Central High for obviously the boys.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, because Central was considered kind of an elite public school, they decided it was unfair to have just boys. you know, you were not having the girls in there. So they made Central Co-Ed, which is fine. However, Girls High, right next to it, which was called and still is Girls High, okay, is still all girls. So if anybody can explain that one to me, I can't get it. I'm sure the Philadelphia.
Because
yeah.
It's okay to have all girls.
Of course it is, but you can't have all guys. That's all there is to it. And who wants to be with all guys anyway? All right. But it's
actually
interesting. You're right, though. You're right. Single gender. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. And the when we were there with OCR in one time, I think, in D.C., and the person there, Richard Foster, he kept saying single sex schools. And finally, I looked at him. I said, Richard, I just can't say single sex middle school all in one sentence. You know, it's not working for me.
I could even do the song. I'm from SSMS. That's that single sex middle school. Okay. SSMS.
There you go. I like it.
There you go. Thank you.
I like it.
There you go. So you're now a consultant, okay? And Susan, if I may, how'd you get into why the interest in middle schools? What you were obviously a public school teacher all the whole time, obviously, but you obviously developed an interest in middle schools. What brought that about?
In
magnet schools. I'm sorry.
Okay. Magnet middle schools. I'm okay with it. I was lucky enough when I worked in Tampa to work for two. What became known later as Magnet Icons. And so together I was with them and a team to actually implement magnet schools in Tampa, Florida, which happens to be the seventh largest school district in the United States.
Oh,
so
it's big. I know
one
that.
One of the ladies, we argue with Houston all the time because they say they're seventh. And I say, no, you're not. We're seventh. So anyway, whatever. But one of them went on to become a president of Magnet Schools of America and still is active on our board. So because I worked for her, she was on the board, she wanted me to be on the board, so I would take care of everything for her and me. You know, so.
Good politics.
But it was very good politics. But anyway, I just, being a public school advocate and having been a public school teacher my whole life, except for a short stint at a Catholic high school, which was pretty interesting. But I just saw this as something that really could increase academics and our beloved equity and access for all students. Tell you every magnet person can. I can tell you story after story after story after story of students who were saved simply because they attended a magnet school. And one of them was my own grandchild. So,
wow.
You know, it's just public school education educates most of the people in the United States. So we have to take care of that. We have to make sure that everybody gets an education, or we're going to just have to take care of people on welfare or in prisons. You know, it costs more money to build a prison than it does a school.
Absolutely. You know, it's the old, I always use the line, it's the old Fram oil filter commercial. You can pay me now for the best oil filter. You can pay me later, okay, for an entire new engine. Okay, it's that
exactly.
simple. Yeah, it's that simple. So change your oil and look for ways you can nip the challenge in the bud, so to speak. That's really what we're talking about. And I want to ask, I want to follow up then, if I may. Todd, can I stay with Susan for a few minutes here?
Please. Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay, buddy, you know, I don't like to ignore you, but this is really interesting. You brought up something terrific, and you heard me at the beginning. We are the American Consortium for Equity in Education, all right? And you brought up how important, Susan, to equity and access, which, by the way, is the name of our magazine. It's on the website, okay?
I know.
And,
subscribe to your magazine.
Thank you, darling. I appreciate that. But when you said that, okay, that magnet schools are the, if I may, the public school leaders, okay, in any given district for equity and access. What did you mean by that? Just kind of put that into a equity access perspective for everybody. What did you mean by that? Why is that?
Did I say that?
You did.
Okay, good. I believe you. I think that people need to realize, and I think they have through this COVID, I think the importance of magnet schools has really been brought to the forefront, because here in Florida, we'll talk to people about an election or money for a half-cent sales tax or a county commissioner or a school board member, and I'll say, oh, they say, well, I don't have any children in school, so why should I support the public school system? I say, well, because everybody that we're educating in these schools is going to come out and work for you, or maybe you're going to work for them. They're going to be and they're going to be managing medical care and assisted living eventually, and they're all like, oh yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
These people are going to affect you. So yeah, it has to be. And what happens in a magnet district is when you go in and you implement these programs. We started in Tampa. I'm going to use that experience. I've had experience all over the United States, but I'm going to use this one. And we put in an IB program. We literally took maybe 50 students. Well, the other high schools in town went crazy. They said, you're taking all the best students. I said, okay, you're telling me out of this whole school district there's only 50 really good students? No, you're just going to have to work a little harder.
Wow.
But what happened is then every other high school started putting in programs because they didn't want us to take their students. So everybody benefits because the magnet schools get stronger. They have to get more competitive when the other high schools programs come in, and it's the same at elementary and middle. I'm just using that example. So then it just pushes up. It's synergy, which is why you go on a street corner and you have a McDonald's and a Burger King and a Pizza Hut and a Taco Bell, you know, because marketers know that that's synergy. So it just pushes everything up. And
all boats rise together. All boats rise together.
Thank you. My friend Dr. Joe Renzulli says that all the time.
It's true, and I'll tell you something else, and this is what they learned from your experience is something very important, okay? At the magnet school, you put in a very rigorous curriculum called the International Baccalaureate, okay? And kids thrive on that. Those kids, they may be bright kids, but they're no brighter than another 1,000 kids or more in the district, okay? You didn't take the best 50. You just took 50 good kids.
No.
I believe multiply that times many, many, many good kids. But the point I'm making, and this is the point that should be learned, okay, magnet schools work because they are rigorous, okay, in a given area. They engage kids, and they don't say to a kid, well, you're from a poor Latino neighborhood. You can't do this. They say, we are going to challenge you with the most rigorous curriculum we can, and you will rise to it. And invariably, this is an essence of middle schools, and magnet schools. I don't know why I'm doing that, but whatever. This is why magnet schools work, because they're engaging to the kids. And if every school in the district applied seriously a rigorous, hard curriculum, even IB, International Baccalaureate, you would see kids who they might have given up on suddenly spark up, okay? Because kids will rise to the occasion. If we talk down to them, they know it, and that's a vicious cycle that we get into. And that's, to me, one of the essences of why magnet schools work so well, okay? And you said something else, okay? Very good. I got to tell you, you know. And by the way, why should people pay for this? It's the old story, if I may. Why do we pay for a fire department? Okay, my house isn't on fire. Why am I paying for the fire department? Okay, well, you pay for it because the fire next door can catch your house on fire. That's why you pay for it.
Exactly.
Okay?
But you don't pay for a magnet school.
Yeah, well, you're paying for it in taxes.
I gotcha. Yes.
Yeah, you're paying
for
it in
your taxes support it all. Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Just
exactly. That's what I meant. And and that's why I use the fire department. We pay for a fire department, whether our house is on fire or not. Okay?
Exactly.
Because
the one time you need it, you want it to be there.
Bingo.
So.
You got it. And like I said, all boats rise. And you said something else, Susan King. Okay? And Todd, you can jump in on this one. So you said that magnet schools really will take a good spot. Okay, during this pandemic and what we're calling a remote education. Okay, tell me something over to Todd. I'll let you catch your breath, Susan. Todd, talk about the magnet schools during this COVID time. What are you hearing?
Well, I'm hearing two things. One is that they obviously, magnet schools are no different than all the other schools that are trying to figure out what's the best way to educate their students, and because they're the, fall under the same aegis as all the other
sure.
public schools. They're basically following the direction of their superintendent, their school district, whether schools are coming in or not. Sometimes they have to follow the rules of the governor, whatever. So
yeah.
that they have in common with their other schools. But here's the thing is that magnet schools have to, you know, in our mind, and maybe we're biased, but we really believe this, they have to work harder to make sure that they don't lose their magnet mojo, as it were. What has
good
really
point.
Gotten them to because it takes a lot of effort to keep up the themes and to keep up all the dimensions that go into having a good magnet. And it's very easy just to say, oh my gosh, we have so many other things to worry about in terms of making sure that kids are educated, but they have to remember and work a little bit harder just to preserve the values of magnets at this time.
It's true, but I will ask you this, and I think I'm right here, okay? It seems to me, and this kind of just plays in what Susan was saying, that the kids, but part of the challenge we have with COVID, okay, is keeping kids engaged, all right? Because, you know, we don't have them, quote, under our sight control all the time, okay? And that doesn't necessarily imply engagement, but you know what I mean. We can't see them. Okay, broadband falters in various areas, et cetera. Okay, it's keeping the kids engaged. And I'm curious, and Todd, maybe you can answer this. I'll swing and stay with you, Todd. Okay, you just said it. Getting the right content, okay, and the right activities, okay, are mm-hmm. extremely important to a themed, and which most of them are, magnet school. Almost said magnetic school, magnet school. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Middle school magnet. I don't know what I'm talking about this morning. Okay. Magnet schools. Okay. And Todd, what are you hearing about the engagement level and all that sort of stuff? Okay. And they've already been through this when absolutely nobody knew what they were doing the last 3 months and everybody tried their damnedest. But has it been easier on magnet schools or more difficult, do you think? What are you just hearing on that regard? And content wise and all that. Yeah.
Sure. I think to some extent everybody's learning on the go, even though people, you know, schools had an opportunity learn this past spring when everything was in the heat of the moment, so to speak. Now they have some plans laid out for hopefully that makes sense for how they can keep students engaged and how do you pace student
good
learning.
Point. Yeah.
But they, you know, so, you know, there's everybody's trying things out and hoping for the best. But at some point, you hope that it works. But you've really got to pay attention to keep kids engaged. You don't want to lose kids at this point. So I think that's something that all of our schools have in common. And then, as I mentioned before, magnets, you know, work a little bit hard. I'm not meaning to say they work harder than others, but they have to worry a little bit more because equity is such a key piece for them.
It really
and
is. Go ahead, Susan, please.
They'll likely, the very real fact that our magnet parents can sometimes travel an hour, used to be on a bus, but some of those
point.
Things are going to mean parents have to make this commitment to staying with us, and some of them may not be able to with their own working at home or whether they're essential workers. So we know that some of them will take a dip. But I can tell you from I have been gathering some what people are doing, and these magnet teachers are just a different breed. They're more they like to take risks. They're willing to give extra time. They're just dedicated to their themes. You take someone that is my age and grew up and you wanted to be a dancer, but you ended up being a teacher. Well, now you can still dance and you can weave that into your program.
Mm-hmm.
Be a dancing teacher. I've seen a
yes,
lot of
can.
Dancing teachers recently. I have
yes,
seen
you can.
A lot. But
Susan, did you want to be a dancer?
I was a ballet dancer.
There you go. Did you know
but
that?
But I gave it up for teaching.
No, I didn't know that. I was just, I'd be more concerned if she said she was a disco dancer. That would be something like that. Okay.
That too.
You were
a
ballet dancer.
But anyway, I was. I actually gave it up for cheerleading, and had I known how that was going to come back to bite me, I probably would have just stayed with ballet. But anyway, I became a teacher because it was an easy degree to get, so I thought, and ended up loving it. So I made the right choice. But speaking of the theme base and looking at schools, we have a school in Tucson. Remember that one, Todd? It won an award a couple of years ago. And they have a mariachi band at the elementary school level.
Wow.
Full costume.
Yeah.
And they put out a video that had each child in their own little Zoom camera lens dressed in their outfit. The two mariachi teachers dressed in their outfit. And they were all playing the same song. I was amazed. I was like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
I can't even get my friends on Zoom to talk one at a time. You know,
brings up interesting, the engagement is so good. How are the schools, the magnet schools, and I don't want to say this the right way, although they're public schools certainly and under the control of a school board, they are different to a certain degree, and everybody respects and likes that difference, all right? And about assessment and measurement of the schools, how well the kids are doing, et cetera, all right? And also, and I have to ask, because things are nuts, budget-wise, I mean, are magnet schools okay in terms of, you know, what the expectations are for this year? Okay, even more so as a kind of a different item than the standard school in the school district. Okay, what are you hearing about that? Are they under more pressure in that regard from their bosses?
Well, I think that, you know, magnet schools are always held to a higher standard, as they should be.
Which is good, yeah.
But then we have to make sure that they have the support they need to hold up their end of the bargain. So, you know, magnet schools are feeling this, going to feel the same financial pressures as other schools. One difference may be is that there are federal grant programs for magnet schools, typically earlier stage magnet schools, and that funding is helps keep many of the magnet schools in early stages going with their needs. It's a 5-year grant program for magnet
schools. Who applies for that funding? Is it the school district or the people at the magnet school?
The district.
Typically the district, yes.
Yeah.
How interesting.
It has to be a district. Yeah, the district has to agree to the application. And Todd is exactly right. That's the only thing that's saving some of them right now. They're in the third or fourth year of the grant, so they have some federal money. What happens is the district will try to take back some of their state or district money because they have federal money. So that's a fight. But they're going to take a hit probably more so than others because it is expensive to keep up a theme. But on the other hand, I know a school right here in St. Pete. I live in Tampa, but I'm in St. Pete right this second. In St. Pete, and Todd's heard me talk about it before, that opened with a federal grant in a neighborhood where nobody wanted to go, turned that school around, became an unbelievable magnet school, and still is. And they have yet to ever receive any more federal money. But they are just dedicated to making that work and mixing up that population. So,
which goes back to what I showed you. Nobody wanted that neighborhood. The kids were probably ignored. You go in there, you do the right thing, you present them with something rigorous and right, and boom, look at what happens. It's proven itself time and time again, and we have yet to really figure this out. Okay, the magnet schools work for student engagement. Okay, that's
they
simple.
Do.
okay? And why haven't we taken that everywhere? Yeah, perhaps you could tell me that because I can't figure it out, all right? But the question I have, why, and I'll start with Susan, but you're going to pass to Todd again. Why does a magnet school cost more? That you just said the expenses are higher, whatever, the budget is higher, than a typical public school. You're still teaching the same public school kids. Is it just because of a different facility, literally a physical facility, or what?
Sometimes it's the facility with labs. Sometimes it's the training. Teachers have to be, like we mentioned, IB, and there's also Cambridge, and there's Discovery. They're wonderful programs, but they're very expensive
yes.
for the training. Very well worth it, but expensive. So there's
yeah.
the training. Sometimes the teachers, you pay them to do other things. You pay them before care, after care, which by law you have to do that. But you really want to do that if you're in a magnet school, because the parent may be an hour away and they don't want to ride the bus. They want to pick
yep.
the child up. So you have to have some care. So, and sometimes it's lab situations. You have to wow them. I mean, if you're going to put your kid on a bus, or you're going to drive there, and you're driving out of your neighborhood, and the people in the school may look totally different than you or anybody you know, then they've got to be wowed day one when they walk in.
Yeah.
You know, and so how have you wowed? Technology is always an issue, but it helps us now. We have two things that are foremost in our magnet schools, which is going to help us through COVID, and that is technology and family and community engagement.
Sure.
So you want to keep both of those things, and we build our programs
wow.
on those. So now, did we understand that every magnet student doesn't have access to a device? Did we understand totally that there may be one device in the family and five people trying to use it? I don't
yeah.
know that we internalized that as much as we should have, but now everyone
no,
knows
nobody.
That.
Yeah,
everyone.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Magnet schools in that regard are no different from everybody else.
No.
Okay.
No.
And
but,
we
but
learned,
now,
we,
but
we
you
fell
talked
off the
about,
cliff. We fell
but,
off the cliff November 13th.
We did.
Okay.
Which
is good because we all saved ourselves. We landed on a pillow, luckily. Okay, we might have fallen
exactly.
off the cliff, but we landed on a pillow or a mattress. But we're not going to get that second chance because they're moving the mattress. We suddenly laid bare everything that was wrong. Okay, and
we
were able
did.
To do that. And it's just like you said, it's amazing. And I have to say this, and Todd, you'll love this. Okay, from Susan's description, from what we all know, all right, the magnet schools engage the families. Now, the families are engaged, okay? So the generic public school, why aren't they doing that too? If it can work for a magnet school with the same kids from the same district in, let's just say, a quote-unquote bad neighborhood, okay, and it works, okay, why can't we do that across the board? And they are shining examples of what we need to be doing, okay, as opposed to exceptions. They should be creating the rule at this point. That was a good one, Todd. I like the way I'm thinking here today. That's
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a job for you in your next career.
I'm telling you guys are the shining examples. Okay, everybody
we,
can be
we
pure
really
and clean
are.
Like Lancelot.
Yeah.
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 You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We've got the example. That's what you guys should be touting like crazy. Okay, we are the shining
yeah.
example. Be like us. Don't close us down.
Yeah.
Be
exactly.
like us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
have two levels of awards programs where we, like these schools, go through a process and they become certified or merit winners. So we recognize that. And everything we do, this is another advantage of magnets right now, everything we do is based on our five pillars and our standards of excellence. So they've got a roadmap. Just because the roadmap has now turned into virtual or half of a class doesn't change
yeah,
the roadmap.
Yeah.
It's still there. It's still a framework. And if you adhere to that, you're still going to come out with academic excellence for all
yeah.
students.
And
however you base that. Yeah.
We have great examples of this, and yet we fight that. Okay, it's for some stupid reason I can't explain it. We got to go. You two are terrific. It's a tag team. Okay, Susan King and Vince McMahon. Right. Man. Right. Actually, there's a funny thing. I just noticed something on my sheet of paper when I got right. What you sent me? I wrote your name as Tood, Tood Man on my sheet. I did that.
I answered anything. So thank you.
Yeah, Tood. But then when I wrote your name on the thing, I put three D's in there, so I can't get it right. It's two D's. Todd Man.
Wow.
Okay, there you go.
We saw it, Tood.
Yeah, Susan. Stay safe down there in Tampa, okay? Or
thank
St. Pete, where you are today.
Thanks,
nice
Larry. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, buddy. Bye. This was a great show. I really appreciate it. You too, my friend. Be good. Stay safe, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Susan. Thanks, Todd. Magnet.edu, okay? Magnet Schools of America. A shining example. We can all be like Sir Lancelot. He doesn't have to be so pure, okay, that we can't be the same. It's really an interesting challenge that we have, and hopefully we're learning a lesson through all this. Okay, so good luck to every magnet school out there. We'll archive the show at education-talkradio.org, and also please join our consortium. Come on, ace-ed.org. All right, I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks, Todd. Thanks, Susan. Everybody, have a good day.